Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. Today, I will be sitting down with Cheryl Batchelder. Cheryl is the former CEO of Popeyes and author of Dare to Serve, How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others. Cheryl, I am so excited to have you here today on the show. I've just come to admire you and respect you and just love you as a mentor, but also a friend. So I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's just jump right in. I want to hear a little bit. I want our listeners to hear a little bit about your upbringing, you know, and just whatever, you know, you want to talk about your family and growing up.
Well, I'm so glad you asked that because it's such a central part of my development. I was very close to my parents, my grandparents, my cousins. It's just always been a centerpiece of my life, very influential. Probably the most single influential in my life was my father. My father was a business executive. He grew up with the team of people that founded Silicon Valley. He was kind of a manufacturing guy that helped them figure out how to make first transistors, then integrated circuits, and then the chip. And so he was my business role model in my life. And our dinner tables were basically lessons in leadership. He never would have said it that way. But he came home every night, sat around the table, and told us about his day. And what I remember most is he told us how he made decisions. He didn't teach us marketing or accounting or skills, but he really talked about the values of how you conduct yourself in business. And I think that's what was so central to his children. There are four of us. I'm the oldest. And all four of us ended up running some kind of company or business in different industries, healthcare, software, water engineering, you know, fast food, but all doing something different. But at the heart of it, all being leaders, values-based leaders.
Did he encourage you guys to ask questions? Did you ask questions of him when he would talk about these
things?
Yes,
absolutely. And he talked freely and openly about the lessons. I remember one in particular. One night he was pacing the floor and sweaty and looked very unhappy. And I asked him what was wrong. And he said, well, tomorrow I have to close a factory. And he said, I'm just sick to my stomach. There are 200 families impacted. And, you know, I've carried that with me my whole life, that if you have to make a difficult decision like that for the sake of the business surviving, mm-hmm. right, you have to do that sometimes, that you should be sick at your stomach mm-hmm. because it's going to impact lives. And so he just taught lesson after lesson like that.
So incredible. Thank you for sharing that. So talk to us a little bit about your education. You know, what took you from here to there? How did you get into the quick food service business? And I know you were at Procter & Gamble and Nabisco, and, you know, you had several things
that you did prior to that. My field when I came out of college was brand management. I really wanted to particularly transform tired brands. That really became my focus. And I got that by starting at Procter & Gamble and working on 100-year-old brands, right? And you had to constantly renew them and bring the energy back and bring the relevance back for the customer. So that was the field that caught my eye and my attention that I thought was fun. It included product innovation, which I thought was fun. And so then a series of career moves just gave me the opportunity to really learn how to do that. And, you know, the early stage of your career, you're really soaking in a lot of experience and learning to become proficient in your field. But you're also, I call it, you're also carrying around a journal and watching how leaders act, behave, conduct themselves, make an impact on business, what works, what doesn't. When I'm asked who my mentors were, frankly, in the early stages, my mentors were my journal book because it wasn't, I was one of the early women in business. There weren't a lot of women to mentor me. I often say, I think the men were scared to mentor me, didn't know quite how do you do that. And so I was kind of figuring it out myself and just keeping track of what I thought was great leadership and what I thought, not so sure about that trait.
So you started journaling. You would observe and then journal from day one.
Yes, I've been a journaler since college. And it's also really interesting to go back and read some of those early learnings and refresh where the lessons came from.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, I encourage, and not everybody loves to write, but I do love to write, and that's been a great tool for me to capture learnings along the way.
Maybe some of those lessons are in your latest book.
Oh, well, they are. You know, you get old enough, you kind of hone in on the lessons you think are most valuable.
Right.
And that would be true. I've become a proponent of servant leadership, and that's what I care most about. That's my passion.
Very good. Well, I want to talk about that a little bit more. So I know that you were at KFC. Can you talk to us about that time? And you left there and then went to Popeyes. Can you just walk us through that journey a little bit, Cheryl?
Yeah, and it wasn't that quick. I went to KFC. It was what I would describe as that, oh my goodness, I got the big job, right? I was going to be a president of the largest quick service restaurant in the world, KFC, because it's global, a very big company. And while I didn't run all the restaurants in the world, I was the U.S. president. I was responsible for the brand identity and really determining how it would be set up for success. So honored and privileged to be offered that job, so excited. The company had a stated culture of being very customer first and people first. So I thought, wow, this is my shot. This is where it's all going to come together, right? But, you know, God had a different idea. it was actually where the wheels came off my bus. I was promoted too soon. One lesson I learned from that is get yourself ready for the big opportunity. And sometimes that means taking left turns in your career to learn other skills. And like in my case, operations and finance, right, and talent. Become a very well-rounded person before you're given the big opportunity. Because in the next 18 months, we had lots of business pressure and challenges. We were attacked on multiple fronts, competitors, a PR event, just lots of negative energy came at the business. And I did not have the skills to turn it around fast enough in a public company environment, fast.
Yes.
It has to be fast. And so 2 years in, I got fired, and I now brag about that. I didn't at the time.
It didn't feel good at the time.
Did not feel good at the time. But I now say that was really the turning point in my leadership journey because success doesn't teach you very much, Lisa. You know, you can look back on your success and go, that's nice. But have a colossal failure and you write down some serious stuff in that journal. And it shapes you.
Real deep reflection.
You do. And I reflected on that failure for 3 or 4 years before I joined Popeyes. And I joined Popeyes board, didn't start as their CEO because I didn't think I'd ever be a CEO again. I thought that chapter was over. So the lessons learned at KFC were the essence of my success at Popeyes. And so I want to remind people, if you're going through transitions, difficulty, you just got fired, lost a job under a different circumstance, you don't understand today why that happened. But at some point in the future, you're going to go, oh my goodness, that was my preparation. That made me who I am for the opportunity that's now in front of me. And all the joy and experience and success at Popeyes stems from a colossal failure.
I love that. You kind of call it your wilderness, right?
Yes. The years after KFC,
wandering in the wilderness.
Trying to figure out, what did that mean? Why do I feel so terrible?
Right.
How do I get my confidence back? You know, what does God really intend for me to do now? All those things were mysteries until I processed it.
If there's one of our listeners that this is completely resonating with, what would be the first step? I mean, certainly you're going to feel sadness. You're going to feel a sense of loss, you know, in that case. But you know, it's not to discount those emotions because those emotions are real.
Any loss, whether it's a person or a job, or anything that's important in your life, any loss, you're going to go through a grieving process.
Right.
And it's not going to be sequential. They always say that about grieving the loss of a family member. It's not sequential. You'll be angry for a while and then you'll find, oh, I'm sad again. Now I'm sad. Now, oh, I'm scared. I don't know where this leads. So you're going to wobble back and forth in those stages. Take them in, expect them, I guess is the first thing I'd say. Don't be surprised.
Yes,
expect them, allow it. One of my good friends said, after a job loss for a year, do nothing but take in the grief and the loss and the change and process. Don't commit to your next thing till you've really gone through a true understanding of what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
So give it time. Sometimes you have to jump right back into another job because you need a job.
Because you need a job, right.
You can still give it mental time for processing and your quiet time.
And I think that that's a hard lesson to learn, but sometimes, you know, there is a preparation mode. And I have often said, you know, God knew that I wasn't really ready for whatever that was, you know, that he had some work to do on me and in me before he can work through you.
Well, and usually the theme I've discovered in my trials is God's trying to bring you to the end of yourself, the end of your plan. Your ideas, your, you know, control freak things, right? I'm a type A person. I got all kinds of control freak in me. And through trials, God literally brings you to your knees so that he can do the work and he can show you the path of the opportunity. And then really exciting things start to happen.
I love that. Well, tell me a little bit, you know, I know your dad was a huge influencer in your thinking, but are there other people in your life, Cheryl, that really have influenced your thinking along the way and are part of your story, you know, and who you are today?
Yeah, so it really is fun to look back. I was an avid reader, so I was always reading and primarily reading about leadership and what makes great leaderships, whether it's an autobiography or biography. Or weather observation. And I had the opportunity when I worked for Tom Monahan at Domino's Pizza, he took us to meet Bill Pollard and the Service Master team in Memphis. They were at the time. And Bill Pollard is one of the most famous servant leader CEOs in the last 50 years. The marble mission of the company was to glorify God by serving others. It was right in the lobby when you walked in. They had incredible training and development of their leaders. Hugely influential day in my life. Just captured my attention. He wrote a great book called The Soul of Business. And one of his colleagues at the time was Max Dupree at Herman Miller in Michigan, who runs a very large, successful office furnishings company. And he wrote The Art of Leadership. And so those two men who were very public with their values-based leadership at that point in time were hugely influential. And there weren't many other people writing about it. So, you know, there are only a couple. So then I kind of took on that mantle. I want to be more like them, right? And I made an intentional decision to work for Tom Monahan because of that. I had worked for a lot of wild and crazy successful people, and but they were kind of wild and crazy, and their values weren't so strong. Their character traits were not so strong. And so I wanted to work for a values-based leader, and Tom Monahan is well known. He's a devout Catholic man. He has deep principles, deeply rooted principles. He's a quiet, understated man. He's not a boisterous, outgoing type. And I studied under him for 4 years until he sold Domino's and concluded his career. But here's a guy who came from an orphanage, started a pizza parlor when he was in college, gave up on college and built more pizza parlors and ended up, you know, I think they have over 10,000 around the world today. Just an incredible impact that
what
he had. But there was a how he did it. So I studied under him as almost as an apprentice for a time. And that, too, was very shaping to my career.
Well, I'm just thinking about that. I want to study him more. Coming from an orphanage, what shaped him? Do you know? Cheryl, I mean, obviously you've
had certainly
some...
it was life-changing for him to be orphaned. And there were some very difficult aspects of it. You know, he loves wrestling to this day. And he often says, it's because I got beat up so much in the orphanage. He's a small stature man.
Yeah.
You know, he's very physically fit. He was a Marine and he runs every day and he's probably going to live to be 120 because he's so healthy. he really, a lot of his mindsets came from a rough start. And that's different, frankly, than mine. I had a lot of blessings in my youth and my family and that. But whether you get blessings or challenge, you can turn that into convictions mm-hmm. of how you lead. Tom was incredibly convicted about character. And the only way you could get truly fired and taken out that day from Domino's Pizza was a character flaw or an integrity flaw. Mm-hmm. He just had zero patience for them.
Zero tolerance.
But I think as he should. As he should. He was clear about it. He set clear expectations. No one should be surprised, right? And he lived it out loud. So
well,
I admired
that. I'm glad
that
he invested in you because you are who you are today because of those people.
He had a great influence.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Cheryl Batchelder. So Cheryl, there's a lot of lies out there that people are hearing today that are really pervasive in our culture. Lies from outside voices, sometimes the lies that we tell ourselves. Is there a lie out there or something that you kind of want to talk to our listening audience about?
You know, the one that I think is very pervasive is not feeling good about ourselves, letting external voices define who we are, tell us if we're good enough. All those voices that talk outside or in our head, as you said, are powerful voices. And I have found in developing leaders that as long as you're letting those voices speak over you, you won't become your fullest potential as a leader. And here's why. You've been designed for something great. I believe every person is designed for something great. Every person has a purpose. It takes us a while sometimes to figure that out and where it is and how to apply ourselves to it. But it is there and it is real. And it is between you and your designer, the creator. It is not between you and your neighbor or your colleague or your friend. I can't tell you in the early stages of my life how many people told me what I was doing was a bad idea. You know, it was not a good idea to be a working mother. Many, many people told me that. Many, many people told me it was not an idea to take this particular career step. It was not an idea early on to get married. Cheryl, that would take you way off track. You would have to follow his career. You know, all these messages. And all they did was conflict with my calling. So I really encourage men and women to pursue this question of how were you designed? What are the strengths you've been given, the values that have developed in you, the experiences your life has put in you that make you perfectly designed for what? I call it purpose and principles. Because when you figure that out and start living that out, all those other voices get quieter.
Fade in the background. Right.
And I say that specifically for women. For some reason, I think we as women are a little bit more likely to listen to the voices. I don't know why that is, but we do. And it trips us up. It takes away from our God-given gifts and our ability to share them.
Well, that's a perfect segue. This is called Something Extra. And I, too, believe that everyone was perfectly designed and everyone has something extra to give the world. And you're not giving something extra for yourself. That's the thing. You're giving that something extra so you can give it away. So can you think of possibly a leader, you know, that had something extra that, you know, you want to talk about? Or was there, you know, even somebody on your team? You know, what was that something extra that really made them special?
Well, you know, in our culture, we tend to celebrate the, you know, kind of huge persona leaders, right? So the trait that I love is the Mother Teresa trait, right? Mm. And she had such a tender heart for the people she served, just such a tender heart. And she never, everything she did was for their benefit, not for hers. She suffered on their behalf. And so she is bigger than life. And I, too, am overwhelmed. I will never be her. But what a lesson we can take from that. So when I look inside the companies that I've worked in, I'll tell you the people that I really treasure are those who quietly serve. And you know, honestly, Lisa, they're often introverts. They often don't run around going, look at me, look at me, look at me. So, you know, we had at Popeyes, we had this woman in employee benefits who took every call of every person in the company who needed help with their benefits. I mean, it's not a huge huge
endeavor.
Undertaking,
yes.
Right? And the questions right. were hard, and she was often in the midst of family difficulties or health circumstances, sensitive times. And she just served and served and served. And I'll tell you what, the day she retired from the company, everything,
everybody
you know,
wept.
Everybody wept. Everybody stopped and said, how will we function? I have this favorite verse from Isaiah that says, God has the whole world in his hands and we are grasshoppers. And it's the grasshoppers that really have it together that have said, you know, God has an inordinately great plan. I have an important role in it, but I'm to quietly serve on his behalf to make things happen that he intends. And that's what I just described in this person and in the HR team. And where I saw that, I gave out for years a grasshopper award. You got a little button with a ugly grasshopper on it. And I always said, we're not ugly insects. We're beautifully designed. But isn't it a beautiful thing when we quietly serve?
Well, it reminds me of one of your favorite verses, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Philippians.
Yes. Count others more significant than ourselves.
Right.
Just do nothing out of self-conceit. Be humble and serve others.
Do you say that one time, Cheryl? Or is that a daily occurrence?
It's a daily thing. It's in my calendar. It's in my Outlook calendar at the top of every day. It's literally the reminder. See, while I teach servant leadership, I never teach that it's easy or that you get there. It's very aspirational. So that means every day you get up and you say, please, Lord, help me think of these other people and not my own needs. You know, I'm tired, grumpy, annoyed. I've got things I want done. No. Reframe. How am I going into this day and serving well the team that's been given to me to care for today?
Right.
Hard to do, only aspirational, but that verse keeps me going.
Now that's going to become my verse.
Great, we can share it.
Yes. You know, I'm just reminded too, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about this, but you said as a leader, I mean, it is important to love your people, right? And can you tell that story just a little bit? I just think that's, you know, when you went to Popeyes.
Right. You know, love is not a word we use very often in business. In fact, most people kind of go, don't
Except
talk about that.
Except if you're Southwest Airlines.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, so a friend of mine says, love is not a feeling, it's an action verb. And I think that's the way we should think about it in the business world, is are we acting lovingly towards the people we've been asked to serve? At Popeyes, we had 300 franchise owners who had invested their whole families and everything they owned into building our restaurants and serving our guests. And yet, we were not serving them well. The business results have been terrible. We talked about them terribly. We said they're annoying. They're always yelling at us. They're mean. You know, they're emotional. We had all these adjectives for them that were not loving. So when they came in the room, we did not act loving towards them. We didn't listen well. We didn't respect their investment. We didn't ask for their ideas and solutions. And until we really made loving them our priority, we couldn't serve them very well. And always that required laying down our own interest and our own needs. One time I asked a franchisee, how do you know, what's a good, when we do a good job leading you, what do we do? And what do we do when it's a bad job? Oh, he said, oh, that's easy. Bad job, you show up with your PowerPoint presentation, you tell us what to do. Good job, you come to the meeting with a white piece of paper and you say, what's on your mind? He said, nothing could demonstrate more interest and respect and care for us than saying what's on your mind.
That's an awesome lesson.
It's a great lesson.
Awesome lesson. So, Cheryl, tell me about another something extra that you feel like every leader needs.
The one that comes to mind for me is to be a curious, continuous learner. I always say when you stop learning, you stop leading, because learning is the fuel that makes us better and better as leaders. And I think the only bad news about leadership is if you start really growing yourself, you won't be able to grow the next generation of leaders. And so I want to be, and I want you to be, someone constantly pursuing a curious learning journey to become a better and better version of the leader you're designed to be. That means reading. Mm-hmm. It means listening to speakers and podcasts. It means challenging yourselves in an area that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the best ways to learn,
right,
is to step out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of my bosses said, Cheryl, you need to take a zigzag in your career to go deep and learn another functional area. And I can remember right now the fear mm-hmm. when he said that.
Because it's uncomfortable.
Oh,
it's
my goodness.
It's out of your comfort zone.
I'm a marketing person. You know, I want to do just marketing.
Yeah.
Well, I did product innovation and finance were the two areas that, and to be honest, I never would have become a CEO without multiple disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. Because you never will have all the disciplines, but you need to have a few. And so that willingness to say, okay, I'm never going to be great at operations and finance will never be my favorite thing, but I've got to be competent to serve.
So how specifically did you do that? Did you find a mentor or, you know, to learn more about finance? Or did you raise your hand and say, I want to be in that department? I mean, how did you do that?
Well, you know, my HR leader at Popeye said, 80% of learning is on the job, which I really believe. So I say first and foremost, look for a project or an assignment mm-hmm. that takes you out of your confidence zone and gives you people to learn from, mm-hmm. right? So I took lots of assignments other people didn't want. That's one way to do it. They were usually brands that people thought were dead and maybe they were near death. But like Biz All Fabric Bleach, I mean, who would have thunk? I was on that for 2 years and wasn't sure I could turn it around. But you know, take the hardest job. Mm-hmm. Take the risk, take the hardest job. The other piece of it that Lynn would always remind me of is mentoring, learning from others. Now, if you don't have a mentoring program, create your own. Go ask someone. I could ask all the time if I will mentor someone and I'll say, well, listen, I can't mentor you for 6 months, but if you'll create an agenda, we can do one session and I'll give you everything I got.
Yeah.
And most leaders are willing to share. And then 10% of it is conference, podcast, reading, you know, that fills in gaps
or
shows you new opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I did do some rigorous training in finance because it's essential, and I didn't ever want to lack both the knowledge and the language to be effective in that area. And that's school. You know, that I went back to school.
So you took some classes, you took some courses. Okay. So that's good advice. No, I hear that a lot too. Well, how do I find a mentor? I don't have a mentor, you know, but sometimes, I mean, people can't read your mind, right?
That's
so
right.
You
ask.
Need to say, yes, I need a mentor in this area. Would you mentor me? And the worst thing that can happen, you know, is they say, no, I don't have the time to do that. But most of the time, they will give you something.
Right. And if you don't insist on a large block of time, and if you come prepared, my number one expectation for someone that wants to be a mentored is to come prepared. Have your three questions.
Mm-hmm.
Really know what you're looking to learn and give them to the mentor ahead of time to think about so they can be prepared.
Yeah, that's great advice too. So Cheryl, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about what's on your heart and what's kind of exciting and coming up. And you just had something that went live. So I want you to tell our listening audience a little bit about that and how they can plug in.
Well, excellent. I'm excited that we've just published the second edition of the book, Dare to Serve, How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others. It tells the story of the Popeye's transformation using the servant leadership principles. We also have created a new resource. It's an online master course in servant leadership. The number one thing I get asked by my readers is please give us more concrete help putting this to work in our business situations. And so we've created a 5-week course that does just that. And every week we talk about ways to put this to work right where you sit, right with your teams as we go to work today. So I encourage you to look into that. Our publisher is Barrett Kohler. My website is CherylBatchelder.com, or if that's too hard to spell, it's just Serving Performs. And so
if
you can
Googled
find
Serving Performs, they would find you. Okay,
Serving
that's
Performs,
good to know.
And all the resources are right there for you to join in. I would love for you to become part of our movement.
Awesome. Very good. Well, thank you so much, my friend. This has just been so much fun, and I'm excited for our listeners to get to experience you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Our show today is executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2018. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit lisagailnichols.com/somethingextra. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen.